Welcome to the Unlocking Freedom Podcast. It's okay to hurt, it's okay to feel lost, and it's okay to ask for help. Let's open the door to a better you. Hello and welcome back. I'm Kayla.
I'm Allison.
And we are going to talk about righteousness today. Yes. We just finished this key in our One Hope Recovery,
yes.
Unlocking Freedom, small group. So if you are really, you don't even have to be in the Dallas area. I was about to say if you're in Dallas, but we meet online.
Yeah.
Join us. If you want a support group in a place like a safe place to be able to talk and learn about any of this Unlocking Freedom content, there's a Monday night group.
Yep. Monday at 7.
Yeah. Contact us on Instagram, probably, at Unlocking Freedom. Or it's unlocking.freedom.
Yes.
I'll put it in the show notes. But contact us and we can send you the link because we meet every Monday at 7. And it's great.
Yeah.
I love Monday nights.
I
look forward to Mondays. Yeah. I do.
It's funny. Our group said that last night too. And I love to hear that because, you know, it's great to know that people are looking forward to accountability and support.
Yeah.
And it's not about, there are addiction issues addressed and all of that, but it's not just that. We have a wide variety of people. I think you need support when you're going through a divorce and you need support when you're trying to raise crazy kids and you need support when fill in the blank.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So
I love it. I do too. There's people in all walks of life. I think that's what's so cool is because we can come together and it makes you not feel alone.
Yes.
Because a lot of what I'm experiencing, you're experiencing, right. And they're experiencing and all of it. And so, I don't know. I'm always encouraged. We're the leaders.
Yeah.
And I'm always hanging up encouraged on Monday nights. So, if you need any kind of support, I do want to throw that out there.
Yeah, definitely.
We have meetings. So, reach out and we can send you the link. Because we talk about, so Unlocking Freedom is a curriculum that we have written that is a year long.
Yes.
That can walk you through becoming the best version of yourself, like in any capacity.
Simply put.
And so, there's something for everybody. So
there is, for sure.
Yeah, we're excited, but we're going to talk about righteousness. And we are excited to have this conversation because we just finished it and it was so good.
It was good.
Over the past month, but I can't get enough of righteousness.
Yeah.
Because I'm just so thankful for the access that we have to righteousness through Jesus. Like I think so many times, like especially when you become a new Christian,
right.
Like you just think of salvation, like, sure, you're not going to hell anymore.
Right.
Like that is great news. Like it is. Thank you, Lord, for salvation. But you have access to so much more than just salvation through Jesus. And part of what you have access to is being identified as the righteousness of God in Jesus. And so I'm so thankful that, man, we are labeled righteous the moment we receive salvation.
Yeah.
So in Romans 8:1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation in Christ Jesus. And it's because when you say yes to Jesus, you open the door to a whole new identity as yourself. And so I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that I'm not just a disciple of Christ.
Yeah.
I think too many times we just consider ourselves as disciples, but Jesus had disciples before the cross.
Right.
Like there were disciples before the cross, but then once he died on the cross and he was buried and then he rose again, like that resurrection power made us sons and daughters.
Yes.
And so we're not just disciples of Christ, but we're a child of God.
Right.
And we see this in Romans 8:29, when Jesus is referred to as the first of many brethren. And so I'm thankful for the access that that gives us, because that gives me child of God benefits.
Yeah.
That gives me refrigerator privileges.
Right.
In the kingdom, right. You know,
yeah.
That I can feast on anything that was his is mine kind of yes. thing. And so the most important title that you can carry is being a child of God.
Yeah.
Because the cross gave us that. And so, yeah, I'm thankful.
I love that word too. I think so often in church, you know, in church, legalistic churches, let me just clarify that, because our church is not this way. But, you know, righteousness can feel very works-based, like I have to do something, I have to be enough. Now that I'm saved, I have to walk out all these things and walk out this righteousness. And when you look at the word in the Greek, it's not about, it's actually means right standing. And even more than that, I love, if you go a little bit deeper, it means you're innocent.
Yeah.
So not only did he put you in right standing with him, but he actually said, you're innocent. I don't see you as guilty anymore. Doesn't matter what you did do or what you might even continue to do.
Yeah.
You're in right standing with him.
It made me think about, like, his yoke is easy, his burden is light kind yes. of thing. Like, he took the heaviness of your sin.
Yeah.
And he took care of it.
Right.
And so, like, we can walk into easy and light. And, yeah. like, that's our place to carry.
Yeah.
Is easy and light, which is so crazy, because, like, having to work for your salvation, or, having to do works because mm-hmm. of salvation or any of that, it's heavy.
It is you heavy. Know? It's impossible. And
so, like, to fully embrace the easy and light that Jesus was talking about is to fully embrace the identity yeah. that we have in him.
Yeah.
You know?
And, you know, the word says, as he is, so are you. So if Jesus is pure, if he's, you know, sitting at the right hand of God, you are exactly what Jesus is. That's yeah. how God sees you now.
Yeah.
And so, and listen, if you're listening to this and you've never received him and all of that, it's simple. It's simply saying, I believe.
Yeah.
I believe that you died for me. I believe that you did this. And then, I mean, it doesn't even have to be a formal prayer.
Yeah. Well, just being covered by the blood.
Yeah.
That's what he sees.
Yeah.
He sees the blood of Jesus exactly. when he looks at you. I love that. And I'm so thankful that we have pastors that remind us of that
yes.
very, very regularly, is that when Jesus looks at you, he doesn't even see your sin. He sees
right.
the righteousness of God, because he sees Jesus as a accomplishment. Jesus yeah. was enough.
Yeah.
And what he did was enough to cover whatever it is whatever. That you could be holding on to. And so, yeah, thankful.
So I was sharing with Kayla, I like this Colossians 2:13, and it's a little bit long, but I'm going to read it to you in the Passion. And I'm going to tell you something after I read this that it makes me think of, which, you know, if you've listened to the podcast, you know, I'm going to compare to something crazy. But it is, when I read this is what it made me think of. It says, this realm of death describes our former state, for we were held in sin's grasp. But now we have been resurrected out of that realm of death, never to return, for we are forever alive and forgiven of all of our sins. He canceled out every legal violation we had on our record and the old arrest warrant that stood to indict us. He erased it all, our sins, our stained soul. He deleted it all, and they cannot be retrieved. Everything we once were in Adam has been placed onto his cross and nailed permanently there as a public display of cancellation. Then Jesus made a public spectacle of all the powers and principalities of darkness, stripping away from them every weapon and all their spiritual authority and power to accuse us. And by the power of the cross, Jesus led them around as prisoners in a procession of triumph. He was not their prisoner, they were his. So when I first read this, the first mm-hmm. thing that came to my mind was this scene in Game of Thrones. So listen, I haven't watched all of Game of Thrones, so so don't email me, don't comment, because I know someone who watches it. I won't throw them under the bus. And sometimes
no bus throwing on this episode.
Sometimes I've actually, you know, gained more and more knowledge as years have gone by, because they like to watch it over and over. So, but it reminds me of this scene where Queen Cersei, she wasn't the queen then, I don't think, anyway, but she got caught in this and all of these bad things she was doing, and she had to I can't remember what they call it, but they have to do this like walk of shame. And so that parading just made me think of that, like, you know, he took the sin, he took the accuser, and he paraded him around.
Yeah.
And made, and in that episode, they're like, shame, shame. They do this bell ringing. I don't know. It's kind of a crazy scene, but she's humiliated. And I was thinking as I read this, that is exactly what Jesus did. He went to hell, grabbed the keys, and then made a public spectacle of the enemy.
Yeah.
And took his he weapons away.
Did it. That is what blows my mind.
Yeah.
So not only did he do it, but like he innocently did it. Like he was blameless in every way.
Yeah.
Like,
and so I love it. And I love that picture of him taking all the weapons away. And so, you know, when I read that, I think if we have this accuser that's constantly nagging at us and bringing back all of our shame and sin, and we're allowing that to continue, then who gave them their weapons back?
Yeah.
Because Jesus didn't.
Yeah.
So that's, now I have to take authority and say, wait, your weapons are taken away, to give me that.
Hey, you know, I just thought about this, but like when you're in an empty room, it echoes.
And
it
seems
a lot louder than when you have all that stuff. And so like, man, how many times is like the enemy yelling or, you know, whatever, shouting at us?
Yeah.
And it just sounds louder because he's got nothing to fight with.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Because he's in an empty room because everything has been taken.
Yeah.
You know, that's good.
It's just when I read it, I'm like, oh my goodness. So if I'm hearing that voice over and over and I'm allowing it, who is that on? That's got to be on me that I haven't shut it down.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
The other thing I love is that part that said he canceled out the legal violation we had on our record and the old arrest warrant that stood to indict us. He erased it all, our sins, our stained soul. He deleted it all and they cannot be retrieved. And it makes me think of the amount of times I've gotten a ticket, and only twice, but it's twice, y'all. Just no judgment. This is a no judgment zone. I have twice had a warrant for my arrest because I forgot about a ticket. So I'm a 9 and avoidance might be a part of that. Well, you don't even know. Some of you don't know what that is. I am a peacemaker, but who avoids at times to cope. And so anyway, in saying that, you know, I guess I thought that day would never come that I had to pay the ticket. I don't know. And it puts me in mind of that, like, instead of me having to go down and face the court and pay a bond until I could pay my ticket, it was deleted. It was gone. Yeah. And it never came back up. And so I love that thought that, you know, we did wrong. I mean, we were born into sin. Because of Adam, we were born into that. But the moment that you accept Jesus,
well, that's why the importance of needing to be born again.
Yeah.
That's because unfortunately, we're born into a fallen world.
Yeah.
You know,
and I can tell you, Shane would say, probably, I think my husband would probably say, you know, a lot of times when you delete something, it's really hard to get back, even for a software engineer. But God did it so that you can get it back.
Yeah.
It's gone. Yeah. The only person that can bring it back up is you.
So good.
So I love that.
So good. Your identity is righteousness.
Yeah.
And so like we make it a point at Unlocking Freedom to say, like, refuse to take your identity from your sin and your struggles. Like, refuse to take it from whatever behaviors. When we put our faith in Jesus, God doesn't convict us of our sin.
No.
He convicts us of our righteousness.
Yes.
And I I think it takes time being intentional to what you're listening to. You know,
yeah.
Are you listening to shame? Are you listening to condemnation? Are you listening to like that soundtrack in your mind,
mm-hmm.
Of the screw ups that you're making, you know, the mistakes you're making? Or are you listening to the Holy Spirit who's saying, hey, you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
You don't have to do that. You don't have to act like that. You don't have to turn to that, you know?
Yeah. And if you need that reference, you guys, because we say it a lot, and I know maybe some people are like, how can I be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? But in 2 Corinthians 5:21, if you need to go read it for yourself, because it's there. It's in writing. Yeah. And that's what it says.
Yeah.
So, you know, I love too that in Galatians 2, it says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. So listen, if you are not the righteousness of God in Christ and you still have to do something, if you have to work for it, if you have to, you know, if it's in your control, then why did he go to the cross?
Yeah.
And that would be totally cruel of God to make Jesus take all of our sins. The 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for God made the only one who did not know sin to become sin for us so that we could become the righteousness of God through our union with him. So if he would make him do that and then still say you have to do something and you have to work for it, that's a God who
it wasn't all sufficient.
He's not fair. Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, when you think about it from that standpoint, that if I have to do something, then why did God make him go through all that?
Yeah.
So
that's so good.
Yeah.
One of our lesson points says you're either depending on Jesus or you're depending on your own strength. Like there's no in between. And the beauty of righteousness is that you don't have to earn it.
Right.
And I think that was so hard for me personally, but I think it's hard for a lot of believers.
It is.
To like shift into that. Like, what are you talking about? I don't have to earn it.
Right.
You know, we live in a society where you kind of have to earn like
everything,
respect and money and, your character, you know, like the way that people look at you, your integrity, like you kind of have to earn trust. You have to earn a lot and you kind of have to prove yourself. And God does it backwards. And he does. No, I've already taken care of all of that. That's exhausting. It's heavy.
Yes, it is.
So let's do easy and light and you don't have to earn it.
Yeah.
You literally just have to say yes to Jesus.
I love that.
And you're activated into righteousness. And so,
yeah. And, you know, when we talk about that, when you hear grace, that's what that is. It's unearned. You do not have to earn it. It's free. It's for you.
Unearned, unmerited favor.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, yeah.
I love it.
It's so good. And so we talk about like addiction's not the issue. Your behavior's not the issue. Like it's an identity issue. When we're talking addiction and when we're talking bad coping and just getting out of those heavy mindsets, like it's an identity issue and it takes an identity transformation to be in your thinking to be able to come out of those ruts,
right?
Get out of those loops, you know, for sure. So you don't have a sin problem. You have a sin condition. Like God chooses not to remember your sin. Jesus became sin. So the problem of the matter has already been dealt with. And so we've talked about a tip and I know our pastors taught me this, but like in your moment of weakness, whatever you're struggling with.
Yes.
When you find yourself in that moment of weakness, remind yourself that even then I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Because the Bible said that he died, like Romans 5:8, like at our very worst, Christ, when in the midst of our sin, Jesus died for us. And so, like, how powerful, I think that's one of the most powerful scriptures to a new believer. I mean, to any believer, yeah. But like in the very midst of like your darkest days, Jesus died for that too. And right. So it can be a turning point in your life when, even if you're dealing with, because we talk about behavior modification and, you know, when you're trying to stop using or stop cutting or stop, yeah. You know, whatever, fill in the blank. Whenever you're trying to stop whatever behavior it is,
yes.
that you're wanting freedom from, like if you just focus on the behavior and you just focus on the behavior modification, it's not going to last.
Right.
It's exhausting. You it can is. Only do that for so long because you're thinking about the choice that you're making, you know? And so instead shifting into the thought process of I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Like when you shift there, mm-hmm. all of a sudden your behavior lines up. All yeah. of a sudden you're going to want to start making decisions that your righteousness contributes to.
Right.
And not your sin consciousness. I know we talk about being righteousness conscious versus sin conscious. So when you're sin conscious, you're always thinking of the ways that you don't measure up or that yeah. you have to measure up. That's exactly. striving. That's doing things in your own strength.
Right.
But when you're righteousness conscious, you always remind yourself of who you are because of the cross.
Yeah.
That's your true identity. And that's what's dictating your thoughts and your actions. And so I love something that Pastor Jen has shared about her dad when she would leave the house as a teenager.
Oh, yeah.
He would say, remember who you are. Like yeah. as she's walking out, she was like, that saved me from making a lot of decisions that I could have made because I had my dad's voice. And I'm like, man, as a parent, like that is so solid. Like,
yeah.
I love that of just because that's what the Holy Spirit is saying in right. those moments. They're not saying, you blew it.
Yeah.
How dare you? Like, yeah. instead, he's just whispering, hey, remember who you are.
Yeah.
Hey, remember who
I love
Jesus
that.
Died for you to be. Because that's what brings change. That right. That's what's going to bring change that ultimately is going to lead to freedom.
Well, and that's what reminds you that you're loved. And I think, yeah. you know, I was sharing with Kayla before this, you know, the fact that you're loved, and if you really understand and believe that, that really helps a lot with all of this. I mean, you're yeah. knowing that, like she said, you're a son or a daughter, not a slave or you know, you're not, or a disciple. That's yeah. the other disciple. Disciples are great, but yeah. that's not what we are talking about in this situation. We're talking about a father who loves you very much.
Yeah. It makes me think about Pastor Jen shared this past week, that the most biblical song or whatever yeah. is Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so.
Yeah.
Like that right there. If you just camp out there for the rest of your life, like you've arrived, you made it.
Yeah.
You get the point, you know?
Right.
And so, yeah, like having a revelation of love changes everything.
Yeah.
It really changes everything.
I think, you know, we've seen situations with children who are kind of doing their own thing. And specifically my son, you know, who isn't with us right now, and he got into some trouble. And, you know, but the one thing that as a son, he's my son. And no matter how badly as a son or a daughter you mess up, if you think about it from an earthly parent, which he says, if, you know, you being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. So when I think about it from that standpoint, well, that means that he loves us so much more than we could imagine loving our own children. But, you know, even in that, my son can mess up, but I still love him. He's still my son.
Yeah.
You know, do I like all the consequences that my children have to face? No, absolutely not. I want better for them, but I love them. And so, and I feel like that's what we see here is he doesn't like all the consequences that we have to face.
Yeah.
And he doesn't put those on us. Those are natural consequences of our actions sometimes. Yeah. Those don't come from God. Yeah. You know, and so when I think about it from that point, he's rooting for us.
Yeah.
Even when we've screwed it all up, he's still rooting for us.
Yeah.
And that's what, and you don't have to earn being a son or a daughter. Like, you're just born into it.
You're born,
like,
yeah.
And I have been thinking about that a lot because I am with child.
Yeah.
There's a baby currently in my womb and they will be coming out pretty soon. And like, yeah, just the revelation of like, I already love them so. We don't know if it's a boy or a girl, so we're calling it them. I'm not having twins. There's one baby, but we're doing a surprise. But they don't have to earn our love.
No.
We're already daydreaming about all the joy that's going to be filled in our house with them. We're already daydreaming about getting to hold them and, you know, getting all of it. And so, like, I can trust you. They haven't earned it.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
You know, like, and so that just, like, I don't know. It just changes my heart towards, like, what Jesus has done for us and what God's plan is for us. Like, he wants us to have that kind of access of, like, you didn't have to earn it to be here. I just love you so much, you know.
I feel like the you know, best kind of earthly father, I think for me personally, of someone that I wasn't born into is our friends, Pastor Terry and Sandy. And, you know, they have loved us like their own children and, accepted us and, you know, even like the refrigerator privileges you talk about, you mentioned in the beginning, Shane knew like he was loved. So he'd go in and open the fridge and get stuff out. And, you know, and then later, London came along and she had Mimi wrapped around her finger. And so she would go in, she would climb up on the counter, get the cup out, go get the milk out. And, you know, of course, for me, going into someone's home and just getting stuff out, I'm like, hey, this isn't not your home. But she didn't. She was like, yeah, actually. It's as if it were.
I love it. Like, and maybe that's what childlike faith is.
Yes.
It's just fully walking in being a son or daughter of God.
Yeah.
And like fully walking in all the access that righteousness gives us.
Yeah.
Like, maybe that's what Jesus was talking about. Having childlike faith is right. Like, is that.
It's just, I know I can do this.
Like, this is, yeah.
You know, London has never questioned a day in her life if she was loved by anyone. She knew she was loved by us and then absolutely knew she was loved by Mimi and Papa. And so that's been, you know, I love to look at her in that just like childlike faith, like you say, just, this is the way it is. And why don't you guys know that? I said, we had a little worship night last Wednesday and I said something that, I shared with them. We were talking about that being loved and accepting that. And, something that I shared that really impacted me was Pastor Terry preaching on, God being God's favorite. And I don't remember, I mean, listen, I can only tell you the gist of the message. We just went to a preaching conference and they say preachers don't even remember what they preached. I probably have notes on it somewhere, in some notebook. But I remember that service, something clicking for me, like that I understood God's favor and that I was his favorite, how much I was loved. And I also remember because I came out of that message with this revelation and I was saying it a lot, well, I'm God's favorite. And I remember it ruffling feathers of the people who didn't have that revelation. Yeah. And they would be like, well, you can't say that. And what I understood from that experience was it wasn't that I was wrong. I'm right. I am God's favorite. The problem and the reason it ruffles feathers is because they did not also have that revelation.
Yeah.
And so you can get to where you think, well, if they're the favorite, then I must not be.
Yeah.
And that's not how God's kingdom works. God's kingdom is you're the favorite and you're the favorite.
Yeah.
And
well, I think about that with my kids. Yeah. Like at bedtime with both of them, I'm like, hey, do you know you're my favorite?
Yeah.
Hey, do you know you're my favorite? And I mean it for both.
Both like, of them. Yeah.
They're both my favorite. No, it makes me think about, I was listening to Pastor Judah Smith recently, and he was talking about, he was referencing John,
yeah,
the one Jesus loved, you know, how the disciple John would reference himself,
yes,
is the one Jesus loved. And he's like, man, we need to have that, like, much confidence in our identity.
Yeah.
And so he was challenging, he was talking about in the sense of prayer, like when he's asking God for something, he's like, hey, Jesus, you know, the one that you love,
yeah,
needs this, or the one that you love really wants to do this.
That's
the,
awesome.
The one that you love could really use your input on this. But I'm like, man, like that, I love that.
Cause yeah,
you know, that responds, that like God's response, his heart's response to that is,
yeah,
like so sweet. Cause yeah, I know when, if my children were to talk to me like that, I'd be like, I'm all ears, buddy.
Yeah. You know? What do you need?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For real.
It's interesting because, I've always loved John. And I've always loved that about him. But to be really honest, to be a little vulnerable here, when I would read it, I was jealous. Before I had that revelation, I was jealous. I'm like, well, kind of cocky to say you're the one that Jesus loves. And I didn't understand it. He always interested me, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how can he be so sure? And now I'm like, oh, this is how he can be so sure, because I'm the favorite.
Yeah.
And
well, he understood.
He understood.
For God so loved the world.
Yes.
Like we've talked about that before. Like too many churches kind of put the perspective out there of like, for God was so disappointed in the world.
Yeah.
He sent his only son to make you right, you know?
Yeah.
And that's not it.
No,
it was totally out of love.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, for sure. When I'm praying for our son Abner, because we're believing for healing in his body. But we say that now. We're like, the son, or the boy that loves you so, or the boy that you love so much, needs healing. And so thank
I
you, Lord,
that.
You know, and it instills like confidence, identity in him,
yes,
as well, which has been so sweet because he's like the one Jesus loves. I'm like, yeah, you are the one Jesus loves,
yeah,
you know? And so I love it. Like I want my kids to have that identity, but I want to walk in that identity too.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
For sure.
Yeah.
And then I was talking about to someone recently, man, when you have that mindset, when you're like connected to the Holy Spirit and you're really walking in your righteousness, you're really walking in your identity as the one that Jesus loved.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like I was just looking at my life and I'm just in a place where I'm so thankful. And I was telling somebody recently, like, I feel like I get to have it all, like,
yeah,
kind of thing. Like I I'm kind of nesting. I'm towards the end of my pregnancy, in the
right
sprinting end of my pregnancy. I'm almost 35 weeks, but, and so that is probably where some of that perspective is coming from. But I just look at my children and I look at my husband and I look at our church and I look at all of that. And I'm like, man, the areas of my life where I'm seeking the kingdom first.
Yes.
There's a scripture in, what was that? Matthew 6.
Yeah.
Where it's like, constantly seek God's kingdom and his righteousness. Then all of these things will be given to you in abundance. And I was thinking about, there's an Elevation song that says, seek first the kingdom and all will be added, like over and over again. And I was driving in my car and I'm like, man, the areas of life that I really have sought first the kingdom, and I'll be honest and vulnerable.
Yeah.
It's not every area.
Right.
I need to grow in some areas. But the areas that I've really submitted to God and have really sought his kingdom first, I feel like I have it all, like,
yeah,
in those areas. And like, I mean, that's biblical, but
yeah,
when I was talking to a friend about it, I wasn't even thinking about that scripture. I'm like, man, I'm just so thankful that the Lord is so sweet and so good to continually remind us of our righteousness. Cause when we really walk in that, we do have it all.
Yeah.
Like he wants
exactly
to open the doors for us to have it all in all areas of life. And so, man, I'm thankful.
Yeah.
And I'm constantly challenged of like, what areas of my life can I walk more in righteousness? You know?
Yeah. I think that's so good. I think that, like you said, being vulnerable, I think not even, obviously not all areas, have I done that in, but also not even consistently. Sometimes yeah. I have these moments where I'm like on a good kick and, you know, really growing and leaning in, to grow, to that growth, to yeah. learn, you know, finding out more about the word and revelation. And then there are just moments where I'm like, maybe in a busier season or a down season, or maybe a season where I'm turning on the radio and listening to other things. And I don't think any of those things are bad, yeah. but I definitely think when I'm just, and I don't, it's not that I have to do anything. We're not talking about you working for anything, but you want to consistently be getting revelation of what God has for you.
Renewing your mind.
Renew your mind and continue. And so, you know, I love that, because I'll turn on a podcast and listen to Judah Smith preach or something. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's just what I needed for that moment.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens when you're leaning in.
Yeah.
Like when you're leaning in and you're focused on the Holy Spirit and what he wants to do in your life. Like,
yeah.
he's not going to leave you hanging.
Right.
Jesus sent him as your helper.
Yes.
So he's going to help you.
Yeah.
And so you are going to hear yeah. the right thing at the right time, driving exactly. down the road, or, you know, wherever you're going, or have the right conversation with a random person that you ran into that was yeah. exactly what you needed in that moment. Like, I think that is the importance of leaning in, is because the Holy Spirit wants to be your helper.
Yes.
You know, and too often we're trying to quiet him because we're in a hurry or we're,
right. we don't have time.
Like, we have an agenda.
Yeah.
And like, ultimately he wants to help.
Yeah.
He wants to help.
He does. And listen, you know, just no matter where you are, someone said this on that Wednesday night too, you know, you might be in a place where you're like, yeah, but you don't understand. I've done all of these things. It's too late. It's too far gone. Someone mentioned the thief on the cross last Wednesday.
Yeah.
What all had he done? He had yeah. done a lot. And Jesus responded, "You'll be in my kingdom today. Today.
Yeah.
Today I will see you."
Yeah.
And so that's just how God works.
You're never too far gone.
You're never too far gone. You can today be made right. You can today receive all that he has for you. So, you know, don't let your past, don't let where you've been keep you from just yeah. turning that at, you know, this very moment. Just, I'm going to change this. I'm going to seek the kingdom right now. Mm-hmm. I'm going to find out what God has for me right now.
Yeah. So. And let that be a soundtrack in your mind.
Yes.
I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Regardless of if you're on, you know, like doing great and yeah. killing it and having a great day, or if you're in a moment of weakness, like
yeah.
I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Like, just that truth and that proclamation can really change.
Yeah.
Change you.
Well, yeah. listen, I think if you're saying that in the midst of shooting up, you're going to, you know, what are you doing in that moment? You're speaking life over a very dead situation. You're
speaking the truth. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
So not that any of you are out there shooting up, but I don't know. Maybe,
no, but for
you
real.
Know, for real.
For real. I know that our pastor has shared, like, that she's even given that advice to people who are struggling with pornography, like
yeah.
even as you're looking at porn, like, declare, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Yep.
And eventually, like, that's not going to be what you desire. And it's not going
right.
to be what you're craving, because you're going to start desiring and craving
yeah.
what lines up with your identity. It's not a behavior issue.
Right.
It's not even a sin issue. It's an identity issue.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that can take what's going to come, shame, and
yeah.
really push it aside.
Yeah.
If you allow that.
Yeah.
So,
cause that's what we talked about. I want to say in our love podcast, but how, when your being is secure, your doing will follow,
yes,
you know?
Absolutely.
And so, really find some security in your identity as the righteousness of God.
Yeah.
And all the doing, it'll follow.
Yeah, it will.
It'll follow.
Absolutely.
Thank you for joining us today. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss the next episode. Like us on Facebook at Unlocking Freedom and on Instagram at unlocking.freedom. If you like what you heard, leave a review, comment, or a question.